We're going to rank the culprits of last night's Knicks loss in just a few minutes. Bad Tiki will join the show at 4:30. And the experience in Boston. We'll get more into that as the show rolls on. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Speaking of said experience up in Boston, we were not alone up there making the trip. Felipe in Connecticut was in Boston for the game last night. How'd it go for you, Felipe?
What's going on, Evan? What's going on, Tiki?
All's good.
It was interesting. I'm sad like Loogie. I don't know how he dealt with you, Evan. I would have snapped. I was watching that second half, sad as hell, in my seat. I was in load 6, row 12. I got the tickets about a half hour before the game.
Nice.
Made it to my seat right when the national anthem was playing. I was with my 21-year-old daughter. First half was amazing, man. We looked great. I thought it was over. The fans were looking sick. Us Knicks fans in the crowd were going crazy. I was getting fist bumps, getting dapped up, all that. And then, like I said, second half. One thing that sticks out, and I want to mention, man, because it's the big difference in the team between this year and last year, the toughness, man. Towns is soft. Missing Randall this year is big, and then seeing what he's doing over in Minnesota, it kind of makes you think, you know?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was waiting. I was waiting for that first.
This is when a revisit of the trade happens.
Yeah, we've spent so much time revisiting the picks for Mikal Bridges, when the reality is those are all lottery tickets. We don't know what those things are going to turn into. They traded two basketball players, two humans, in Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. And let me address this Randle thing. Congratulations to Julius Randle. In all seriousness, that guy deserves all the props for the way he has played in the Western Conference semifinals and throughout the postseason, and the Minnesota Timberwolves are going back to the Western Conference finals, and I got nothing but respect for him. Now, as somebody that was always very critical of Julius Randle, I said numerous times the Knicks will win nothing with Julius Randle. I'm sorry. I got to stand by that. I don't know if this was ever happening here. I don't know that.
Why?
Because of what we saw already. And sometimes you need a different room. Sometimes you need a different leader. And Anthony Edwards, maybe you give him a lot of credit. Maybe he's getting more out of Julius. Maybe the city and the lack of pressure. I don't know. But the one thing I can't do, and everyone has a right to do it if you want, is to say, boy, man, if Julius was here, this would have happened. Now.
Well, you just have no idea, because we didn't see it last year. He was hurt, so we didn't see it when they were making this run. But Julius Randle seems to have found a new home, and it fits him.
Exactly, though. Like, I completely agree. That's why I'm not throwing shade at him. He's found a home. It fits him. It's working. I can't assume if the trade doesn't happen, the Knicks are better off.
Okay, but if you're going to ask the question who won the trade, you have to say it was Minnesota, don't you?
So here's the way I look at trades that are won, okay? Mm-hmm. It is all about the perspective of you. So, for example, let's use the Bridges trade, because it's so much easier to kind of comprehend this. Tommy and every Knicks fan has every right to say, hey, Mikal's done a lot for us. It worked for us. And I have every right to say, if the Nets use those picks to trade for Giannis or draft someone really good, I have every right to say, hey, it worked for me.
But yeah, we don't know that yet.
The net one, we don't know yet. But do you see how 5 years from now, we're going to have these dumb arguments where you guys may say, hey, we won the trade. I'm going to say, I'm good. Yeah, I think the same thing applies to this.
Yeah, but I also think the issue with the Mikal Bridges trade is it's never going to feel in line. Like timeline equivalent.
It's different eras.
Yeah, right.
I get you.
Whereas with the Minnesota Timberwolves, it feels like we can compare across the timeline. Like
we can. See it. It's an easier thing to do, but it's also more difficult in that I can't, as much as you guys love DiVincenzo, which I respect, I can't wrap my head around the fact that Julius Randle was going to work this year with him. I'm sorry. I just don't buy that. Do you know we got off to a terrible start in Minnesota, got hurt? Do you guys remember this?
Yeah, of
course. Or even care about this? If that happened here, what would have happened in this town?
Oh, they would have run him. They would have run him out of here.
So how do we know Randle would have responded the way he's responded in Minnesota?
Or that they would have had the patience, even though they did start to get a little bit frustrated with him in the middle of the regular season in Minnesota.
Exactly.
But come postseason, he's been exactly what was advertised when they traded for him.
It can work for Minnesota, and it has. But you can also say the Knicks aren't necessarily or would have been better off not making the trade. I can't give it on that yet.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't.
Cat's a better player. The one thing I will say about Julius is that there were a lot of times when we got to the playoffs, he was hurt. And I was saying this to our friend Kerry the other night at the game, because she's not a Julius Randle fan, in her words.
She's not a Cat fan either.
Yeah, she's not a Cat fan either. Her words of Julius, he can't dribble, which still makes me laugh. What Julius does, and I told her this, is that bully ball, though. And you're lacking that with this Knick team right now. That's not Cat's game. Cat is more finesse.
Do you regret the trade?
I do not regret the trade at all. The only thing I get is a little teary eye when they do the, that commercial with all the Villanova people. It gives me the feels.
You regret the trade.
I do not regret the trade.
You miss Dante.
It sounds like he regrets the trade.
No, I don't know, because if Dante's still here, then in all likelihood, we don't have Mikal, and Mikal's been awesome. I'm just saying, Julius.
Why is that? You traded for Mikal before you ever traded Dante. No, why would you say that?
But it almost seemed like they didn't. Then why did they trade Dante?
Because they had a chance to get Kat.
I understand that, but they could have thrown in Deuce McBride.
No, that's not how this works. Like the Timberwolves.
What do you mean that's not how this works?
I'll explain. They wanted who they wanted.
The Timberwolves went to the Western Conference Finals last year. They've done it again. So in Minnesota, I'm sure their debates are we better off? All we know is they've gotten to the same place. Like they're in the same place as they got with Kat. I am assuming that when Minnesota talked to Leon Rose about a trade, they prefer Dante DiVincenzo. So you saying, oh, they could have given him Deuce. Like, we don't know that.
I have a hard time believing that Dante was like a deal breaker there. They couldn't have found another asset. They couldn't have found another player or a pick or anything. I know they traded a lot of them for Bridges, but I'm just saying there was nothing else in the cupboard.
I think Leon Rose made the best trade he could at the time. And I think he looked at Dante DiVincenzo and said, I'll miss him, but yeah, he's a replaceable player. You're saying to me that he needed to be traded because him and Bridges supposedly had some issues at Villanova?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I find it hard to believe that they couldn't find another asset on the team to trade. And I don't know why Minnesota wouldn't want a Deuce McBride, a young player. You could develop him. He's played.
Because they're trying to win a championship.
I know that, but Deuce McBride is not, you know, a scrub.
I'm not saying he is. I'm not even defending it other than I assume Minnesota preferred Dante DiVincenzo.
Bottom line is this.
Same way you prefer Dante DiVincenzo.
I almost called them the twins. The T-Wolves are getting the very best out of Julius Randle right now. The Knicks aren't getting the very best out of Cat. If they were, this trade would look amazing.
Well, you know what's
They're
funny
just
about
not getting
that?
It out of Cat.
I think during the regular season, they did. Like, Karl-Anthony Towns' regular season, statistically, was as good as he's ever had. But You're right about the playoffs. And that's money time, man. You're defined by this moment. And to Julius's credit, he has stepped up big time in Minnesota. I'm not sure that would have happened here.
Yeah.
And Karl-Anthony Towns has shrunk.
I think what most Knicks fans would say is that they miss his ability to create. Now, some of it is very selfish because I'm just watching all of his 29 points from last night against the Golden State Warriors when they close out this game. It is so much of it is self-created.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all five out. And
the things Knicks fans hated.
Of course, they hated it.
Right?
But when you score 29 points, and you're not even the man there, right? Anthony Edwards is the man, and even though he outscored Anthony Edwards yesterday, you miss the ability to create, and you know that you're going to get a bucket. And Cat doesn't guarantee you that. Sometimes it's just he disappears. We talked about this earlier in the regular season. These fourth quarters, he just doesn't show up. And a lot of it's because he can't create on his own sometimes, whereas Julius Randle, he's going to find shots. Even if they're not good shots.
You're listening to WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 in New York, Odyssey Sports Station. Before we get back to your calls, collectively, let's blame who we need to blame for the Game 5 loss. And the more I think about it, we have to actually start at the top or else it gets confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go around the room very quickly and succinctly. Who do you blame most for last night's Game 5 loss?
Mm.
Tiki, would you like to lead it off?
Yeah. Head coach, Tom Thibodeau.
Tom Thibodeau is number one. Sean Morash, please do me a favor. I know this is challenging for you because I saw your videos last night, too. What a troll you are. They call me a troll.
Well, I had a good time. Am I not allowed to have a good Wednesday night?
You can have as good a time as you want. Who do you blame most for the Knicks loss in Game 5?
This is where my videos are going to get me in trouble because I feel you're going to jump right down my throat. But it's actually layered. Jalen Brunson.
That's okay. You could say that.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson. Do you want to know why are we waiting?
No, you can say what?
For two reasons. Number one, you're the captain. You're the leader. We've heard a lot about the sense of urgency from the New York Knicks. You should be the one setting the tone. And while I thought look, that's a crazy third quarter to get in that kind of foul trouble. The fifth foul to me when you're playing with four fouls was very unnecessary, and you completely hampered from that point forward, knowing the team needs you offensively, having to go on the bench, and then when you finally come out with five fouls, you're basically making the team play 5-on-4 on defense. I think he had to be smarter with four fouls.
I think Jalen Brunson's in the conversation. So you say Jalen, Tiki says Tom Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. And as an IBO, because I'm curious where Tommy's going to go, because I'm not going with either of your two guys, even though Tibbs is towards the top. It's Cat. It's the dumbness of Cat. It's the, I hate using the word dumbness. Let me rephrase that. The basketball dumbness, because he's not a dumb human. Like, I don't like that. I mean, he's just, basketball-wise, he made dumb decisions. So I would actually say Cat is number one on my list. So Tommy, maybe you're going to go OG or Bridges, and we're going to have a complete split decision. But who do you blame most for last night's New York Knicks Game 5 loss? Besides yourself, of course.
Well, I will not blame myself. OG Anunoby, to me, is number one on the list.
Wow!
Jalen Brunson, obviously, we know, is the king of New York. We know he's the star player. And yes, Kat was brought in here to be the Robin to the Batman of Jalen Brunson. But OG Anunoby is and will always be and has been the X factor on this team. When he's cooking, the Knicks are on a different level. When he got injured last year, we all know what happened with Indiana. He's been horrible. 5 points, 2 points, 6 points. He has stunk. He's had maybe one moment defensively that you could think of. He had a nice game when he had 20 the other night. But other than that, he's been a total zero. Awful.
I think that here's the interesting thing about a discussion like this. Everyone deserves blame. Mm-hmm. And he's certainly on it. Do me a favor then, because I can do it, but I think it is actually better coming from you. Tweet out as the official Nick Guy of WFAN. Who do you blame most for last night's loss? Cat, Tibbs, Brunson, or OG? And I'm curious where the majority of your brethren, because the problem with my brethren is while most people who follow me on socials are Knick fans, there's a lot of coalition members.
Yeah, and the problem with the person putting out the poll, which would be you, is you would include me in that poll and your people would vote for me.
Yeah, so I was not going to include you because it would be so unfair. But I think it's better for you to put it out there as the Knick guy. Cat, Tibbs, Brunson, and OG, because it's amazing to me that we just went around the room and we all had someone different.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
And all valid, I think, too.
I know.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the problem. That's why they lost.
Yes. Here's another problem, T, because I know what's going to happen in the comment section.
And forget the comment section. Just put the poll out. The comment section.
You don't care. Oh, hold on a second there, mister. You vote every 4 years.
Yes.
You don't leave like a comment underneath your vote or something? Or you don't say it to the lady that works the lever? You just go in there and vote? You just vote for the laundry? You have no comment based on what your vote?
Hold on. Can I ask that question, Tiki? Because your question seems so confident. Tiki, when you vote for president, we'll stick with the presidents, every 4 years, do you make comments?
I do not. Maybe I comment on the rest of the ballot.
Can I?
I comment by the rest of the ballot. Okay. My comment is the rest of the ballot.
Yeah, how you vote the rest of the ballot. But yes. Tiki nor I, as consistent voters, are not commenting to Claudia, who just took my address.
It's not a restaurant survey.
What's the soup of the day?
I mean, what planet are you on that we're commenting?
If you vote Democratic for president, and then you vote all Republican for every other, you know, whatever that's on the ballot, you're saying, I don't really trust you, but I don't like the other guy.
Right.
So I want you out. I don't want you to have full control.
Well, you may.
But if you vote all party, the whole thing, you're like, I love you, and I think I want to give you control of everything.
You make your comments on how you vote. You don't make comments while you're voting, like, yeah, I'm voting for this person.
But perhaps I was, or I didn't explain myself well there. What I was trying to say was, I could see Knick fans, like, you vote for the Green Tea Party, right, or whatever party.
The Green Tea Party?
Whatever third party. You're a third party kind of guy.
He took to it.
Right? So there's always an other, right? Yes, no other. We're giving options. I think in the comments section, this is just my feeling.
There'll be a lot of bridges?
No, the Knick fans are going to blame the officials, which is ridiculous. Well, they called the game tighter but in the second half, but come on.
But that's why comments don't matter. Give them the choices and let that determine what the winner is.
So you don't believe in free speech?
In this case, no.
Okay. So
in a lot of other cases, I do.
I'll put it up now.
And speaking of making comments when you vote, I'll never forget this because it was so inappropriate, Tiki. I went to go vote, and they see how I'm registered.
Okay.
And the woman made a comment about how I was registered.
Are you serious?
Yes. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because I guess she sees that my wife is registered differently.
Yes.
And then I go, and I'm... Put it this way, I'm registered very differently than most people in the town I used to live in. Mm. So she's like, wow, you're that, huh? And then she said,
How do you live with them? How do you live with them? What kind of comment is that?
Right. It doesn't mean that's who I'm voting for.
Well, that's that too. Like, that doesn't mean I'm voting that party, but either way, don't comment on what my party is. Like, what the hell are you doing? So when you say, don't you comment about how you vote? No. In fact, it's inappropriate to comment
right.
about what or who you're voting for.
How dare you judge Evan Aloysius Snuffleupagus Roberts?
Thank you.
By the way, that's Snuffleupagus' first name, by the way.
Isn't it his last name, too?
No. His first name is Aloysius.
No way.
I swear.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're talking about the same Snuffleupagus with Mr. Bird, Big Bird?
Big Bird.
Tiki has met Snuffy.
Have you? I have met Snuffy. I have been on Sesame Street.
That's right, you have.
And it was spectacular.
Now, I've always heard about the Snuffster, is that he is actually someone that Mr. I keep calling him Mr.
Big Bird.
Big Bird imagines. He's not actually a real character.
That was true, but it then became not true. He was an imaginary character because he was never there when Big Bird tried to introduce him.
Uh-huh.
And so people didn't believe Big Bird. Now, this gets heavy for a second, but because of like domestic violence and child abuse, people didn't want kids to believe that if they said something, adults wouldn't believe them.
Oh, I get you.
So eventually they let Mr. Snuffleupagus get met by everybody so that people would believe Big Bird.
That's interesting. Yes. I never knew that. Yeah,
It's deep. Sesame Street's deep.
No, absolutely.
And I've confirmed Tiki is right. Aloysius from his mother's name, Snuffy's mother's name.
Wow. Yeah. When did they make that change? Because I grew up on Sesame Street. A lot of us did. I loved it. Like, it was my favorite show.
It was a modern. It wasn't when you were a kid.
Okay.
It was much later.
That's probably why I don't know that.
Right.
Because in my interpretation, Mr. Snuffleupagus was just a make-believe character.
He was an imaginary friend of Big Bird.
Do we have any early returns on the poll, Tommy?
When did you ask me to do this poll?
5 minutes ago.
No, about a minute ago. The early returns are the poll's not out yet. I'm still typing things.
Evan,
what do you think I am over here?
He's so particular about how he's wording the poll that he doesn't want to be excoriated in the comments.
There were 3 seconds before Evan just said that Tommy turned to me and said, OG, Tibbs, Brunson.
It's easy. It's Cat, Tibbs, Brunson, and OG.
No, I got it. Who do you blame most for last night's loss to the Celtics? Cat, JB, OG.
Very good. Don't offer any opinion. Just put it out
there. How long would you like the poll to be out there for?
Honestly, the one thing I've learned about polls is within the first 5 minutes, we're going to know the answer.
Mm-hmm. So a couple hours?
Yeah, put it out there for a couple hours, and I'm curious how the Knicks fan feels after last night's loss to the Celtics. Let's go to Alex in New Jersey. Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, dude? What's up, man?
Oh, man. I am so frustrated and agitated. And since you guys are going to do the list, I will say I will not blame positive Tommy because he did say Knicks in six.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold him to that. But Tommy, if it doesn't happen in six, don't even let me call in that day. And I do have a
question. That'll be Monday, by the way.
That'll be for Monday. I do have a question for you, Tiki and Evan.
Go ahead.
Tiki, as a professional athlete, an elite one, and for Evan, as a mediocre to almost horrific pickleball player, would you come and say on a closeout game that you lack energy?
No.
I mean, that is utterly pathetic.
No, it is. I mean, it's bad that felt. And by the way, when you watch the game, especially if you watch it back and you watch the missed shots, just go watch all the missed shots. It looks like the effort isn't there or they're fatigued, especially OG. OG's shot, all his shots were short. And whenever you start seeing short shots, you're saying, man, he doesn't have the legs. He looks worn out. Probably it's the defensive responsibility he's been given throughout this series. But to not have it all and lay it all out there, that's inexcusable. Even if it is excusable.
I think back to 2 games ago, the other game that the Knicks lost in this series, and what jumped out at me, and we opened with it the following day or the next day, whenever we were on the air, was how every Knick talked about lack of urgency.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling for us as fans to say, lack of urgency? You're in the postseason. And so when you look at a night like last night, where an opportunity is right in front of you to close out the defending world champions, you could understand lack of execution. You can understand that because it happens. Nobody's perfect. Right. You can understand coaching decisions that one may disagree with. It is very difficult for the non-athlete, and I guess in your case as an athlete, to hear players say, yeah, we didn't have urgency. In a closeout game? against the Celtics? And the only thing I could think of, even though Brunson denied this in his postgame, I didn't cut this clip. I didn't think it was worth it, but I'll kind of paraphrase here. He was asked, hey, was it in the back of your minds Tatum's out? And you know you're up 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And he said no. But there's a part of you that wonders, is it?
Right.
Is that what causes the lack of urgency in a closeout game like that? Let's go to Robbie in East Brunswick. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, my friend. I'm glad you went up there in Boston. But let's say this. The Knicks didn't lose the game. Don't hang up on me, please.
Why do you always say that? Every time you call, you
have
to...
Because you always hang up on me.
Because then
let me finish my point.
Because we make the decision that your call isn't worth it anymore, and we move on.
The Celtics won the game yesterday. The Knicks didn't lose. Jaylen Brown had a great game. So did everybody else. They're defending champions. They won. You're going to win in Boston. You can't be 0-3 in Boston. You know, and you're a Jonah.
Here's why we have to cut you off. Because when you say the Knicks didn't lose, they shot 36% from the field. That's losing. But I'm going to give you another stat, which I read, and I had to read it again because I'm like, that's not true. That can't be possible. The Knicks were 6-for-13 from the field on layups.
Yeah.
No, I'm not making that up. Wow. They were 6-for-13 on layups.
And you felt that. Part of them was, you know, OG getting snuffed at the rim a couple of times. Mm-hmm. They didn't have shots that they should go up and just dunk and energetically take control or momentum back. They're getting swatted away.
Yeah.
Now, part of that's just Cornette was very active in the post, and even KP, even though he got pushed out of this game early, he had a couple of blocks. It just felt like the Knicks didn't have like that power in the post. And I don't know what to blame that on, but the Knicks couldn't dominate where the Celtics decided to take control. And ultimately, that's what lost them the game. He's right in a sense. You had to expect the Celtics were going to defend their home court at least once in this series, right? They were going to win
absolutely.
At home at some point. But to blow them out that kind of way, that felt like it was out of nowhere.
Yeah, especially when they had an early lead, which they had not had throughout this series, or it was a 3-point lead early third quarter. But don't give me this. They didn't lose. They lost. They got their ass kicked. Now, does that mean they're going to lose game 6? I haven't said that yet. We haven't even talked about that yet. Were they going to lose game 7? Here's what I have discovered. And I actually appreciate Tommy for reminding me this, because sometimes you lose perspective in the moment. So we're in the arena. Place is rocking. Place is really, really loud. And I said to Tommy, and I wasn't even trolling, like it was honestly what I thought in the moment. I said, boy, I tell you, bro, you don't want to come back here for a game 7.
No doubt.
And Tommy immediately said, Evan, you know better than that. And as you said that, it snapped me out of it. Home court advantage is dead. It doesn't matter. So I get that if the Knicks lost tomorrow night, there would be panic from some Knicks fans. The New York Knicks can win game 7 mm-hmm. in Boston. And just like the Celtics can win game 6 at the Garden. Like this home court advantage, this invincibility of, oh, you're going to go to their crib. That's impossible. It's not impossible. Have we watched the playoffs? It's almost like teams are better off being on the road.
Right.
So
it feels that way sometimes.
Deep breath on the whole, I was Boston. They weren't going to lose. Just like some Knicks fans are going to think that about game 6. I got to be honest with you. I have been so wrong about this series on every level. I've gotten every prediction on this series wrong, except I think game 1. Mm-hmm. I thought the Knicks would win game 1. They'd steal game 1. That I'm going to sit here and be honest with you at 3:17 on a Thursday. I have no idea what's going to happen anymore. I really don't. I'm at the point where nothing surprises me. If the Knicks blow them out, I'd say, sure, I get it. If the Celtics win game 6, but then the Knicks win game 7, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, I'm at the point, I don't know if you feel that way, Teak. I'm at the point where nothing surprises me.
I 100% agree. After the first half of this game, I said, this is exactly how I thought it was going to be. Going and Sean and I finished up this last hour. I said, they're going to race out the first quarter. They had 32 points. I thought it was not going to be a blowout. It was going to be tight, come down to the last couple of minutes of the game. At halftime, it was right on it, 59-59. And then all of a sudden, that 13-point lead stretches out. And I'm like, oh, crap. Now it feels like they're compromised. And it happened. You just get blown out of the water in the second half. And to me, that's a response to a halftime with no plan. I don't know. It was weird. It's like there was no plan for what the Celtics were doing.
Keep this in mind. The Boston Celtics have won 2 games in this series where they did not have to play crunch time minutes in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Both games were blowouts.
Keep them close.
keep it close.
That's all you got to do.
Because the Celtics haven't proven, with Tatum or without Tatum, that they can close the Knicks out in a close game. Mm-hmm. They haven't done that yet. Like, literally, the fourth quarters of both of these wins have been, you know, garbage time.
Right, when you think about it, that's because that's when pressure happens.
Yes.
Think about the Celtics all of last year. You don't want to discredit their championship. It is what it is. But did they ever feel pressure?
No.
Exactly.
They never got punched in the face.
And the pressure that they felt in this series is the Knicks coming back from 20, making it a game late, closing them out. Getting up in the fourth quarter, closing them out. Whenever the Celtics run away, it's easy for them. Just like it was, I don't want to say last year, but it was. Yeah. It's easy for them.
Now, let's
make it hard.
Let's answer the question that's on a lot of people's minds. A lot of people have this same question, but Andrew in Westchester is the one who called in, lucky enough to ask it, I guess. Mm. Andrew, ask the question, and we will do our best to give you an answer.
So your subterfuge, your dark ops mission yesterday was successful. Don't want to look ahead, and it might be moot if it gets to a game seven, but if there is a game seven, will you resume your underhanded attempt to destroy the Knicks?
Well, you
and go to the game seven.
You phrased that in a very interesting way, as if that was my plan. I don't know how you could accuse me of that when last year we went to game six in Philly and the Knicks won.
Yes.
So the track record has been mixed. Let's go around the room before I give an answer. Tiki was unable to make the trip yesterday. Would you want to go on Monday night to Boston for a potential game seven?
After a Subway Series game on Sunday night? Probably not.
So Tiki says no. Fair enough. Respect it. Sean Morash, you too were unable to make the trip yesterday. And by the way, both you guys were sorely missed. Mm. Sean, would you want to make the trip on Monday night to Boston for a game seven?
My schedule frees up next week. I think I'd be interested.
So your answer is yes. Okay, fair enough. Tommy Lugauer, would you want to make a trip to a game seven?
There won't be a game seven, but in this fairy tale world that you're creating, if there was one, I'm in.
You're in.
Okay.
Here's my answer.
Evan?
My answer is this. My answer is no.
Because you'll be buying tickets and they'll be $700 a ticket.
It's not even about the money.
That is about the money.
Believe it or not, it's not. You know what it's about?
What's that?
I don't like what I became last night.
Mm.
I don't.
Explain to us those who weren't there.
Now, with that said, what I became last night, Tommy, was not worthy of you cursing me out for 5 minutes on your drive home.
Well, from your vantage point,
I don't think it was fair.
From my vantage, what wasn't fair about it?
I think that you have every right to be disappointed with the way I acted, because I am too. But at the end of the day, you have to remind yourself.
Wait, what happened?
With how I acted?
Yeah.
You know what? Fair enough. When we come back, I'll come clean on how embarrassed I am about myself. And we'll get back to your phone calls at 888-808-1019. We'll mix in some baseball as well as Juan Soto gets set to make his return. Oh, baby. We got a lot to get to today. Juan Soto did an exclusive sit-down interview with, get this, this may surprise you, Teak, John Heyman.
Of all people.
Shocking. Shocking. And he said,
I can't always believe it.
He said a few very interesting things we will discuss coming up at around 4 o'clock. But last night we were in Boston as the Celtics continued their hopes of keeping their season alive and the Knicks mailed in or failed at an opportunity to close out the Boston Celtics. And I do have a lot of regrets for the way I acted. And it wasn't necessarily towards you, Tommy, because that's part of the game. I am going to put a camera in your face and ask you how you're feeling. Did that in Philadelphia, and it was fine. My issue with myself is that I got way too into cheering for the Celtics. And
also, you feel dirty right now.
I feel very dirty. And like as it was happening, you ever have one of those out-of-body experiences, like you're doing something, and you know it's wrong, but it just feels so good. and you're like, I'm not going to stop. And I think the difference between Philly, where I didn't do that, like Tommy will tell you, I put the camera in his face, but I didn't like, Joel Embiid's my guy. Like,
right,
I didn't
you also,
do that.
But you also were around a lot of Knicks fans.
I think that's the difference. Mm. So I think in Philly, I felt like it was 50-50.
You're chameleon.
It was easy.
You fit in where you get in.
I was sitting next to so many just typical Boston Celtic fans, which would normally ignore me. Or not ignore me, bother me.
Right, right.
But we're so on the same page that I started cheering for the Celtics. I put the little towel they gave out over my head like I was John Cena. I was saying, let's go Celtics. I was just, I was doing all of the things that, as a New Yorker, I'm ashamed of.
You disgust me, Evan.
I disgust myself.
Can't even look at you right now.
No, I get it. I get it.
Tommy didn't get up and leave.
Well,
go find Carrie and sit with her instead.
The reason Tommy didn't get up and leave is because we got some damn good seats.
That's a good point.
We didn't mess around. So from that standpoint, to my fellow New Yorker, I'm sorry. And I think that the moment got too much, and my hatred for the Knicks got too much. And it's one thing to root against the Knicks, which I do, and I have no apologies about. But it was one thing to be as pro-Celtic as I turned into, and I will never make that mistake again. So I am deeply sorry. Sean, can you forgive me as a non-Knick fan, but just as a New Yorker?
Yeah, I mean, I think your behavior was totally fine last night. I think it was completely
fine. It wasn't totally fine.
Totally fine. I mean, Evan, I just take you play it to a place in this town when Kevin Durant's foot was on the line, how some people acted like pigs, and, you know, you had to deal with that.
But you know what? Sean, I disagree with you. So
okay.
I understand that Sal wore a Celtic jersey. I get that. I can never do that. And so I wouldn't want to do that.
Do you want to be above that?
Well, it's not something I ever want to do.
Okay.
Dressing as a leprechaun is very different, so I hope to do that. But I didn't want to become a Boston guy. And for 2 hours last night, I was. Look, and I'm ashamed of myself. As soon as I got to the hotel, I took a shower. Not only because I had a bad case of, you know, I had to go to the bathroom, but I feel dirty about the whole thing.
And that's the problem with going to watch two teams you don't like. I had this side with the Knicks last year when Faux Cheeks came in and tried to punch us. Suddenly I hated the city of Philadelphia beyond belief. But we did reveal one thing, Evan. I'm glad you acted like that.
Yeah.
Because there's a million things, and if you haven't seen it, go at Tommy Lugauer on Twitter to a not suitable for work video where he absolutely crushed you with a million F-bombs.
A lot of inappropriate words.
A lot of inappropriate.
I think he said something about my genitalia, which I was like, how is he doing that?
But like everybody fell for all that part of his little video. But yeah. I think the biggest revelation to me that would not have happened if you didn't act that way is that for the first time in a long time since the show launched specifically, he was willing to pull out his credit card and pay for something. He said, I might as well have, quote, pulled out my bleeping credit card, gave it to him to go to the gift shop and buy a Larry Bird jersey.
Wow.
So after you bought the tickets, or everything that went into it, we found out that there is a line Tommy's willing to cross where he is willing to pay for something expensive for you.
Well, but he didn't.
You made him that angry.
But you didn't buy, did you buy me anything last night? I had ice cream, but I'm not sure if you bought it or Paulie bought it.
So the plan was, and I gave Paul Rosenberg, who works here and drove me up there, very specific instructions. I said, dinner is on me. I don't want anything. I'm watching the game. I'm focused. I don't want to eat.
I respect that. That's my game, too, by the way.
Get what you want.
Yep.
And get Evan the two hot dogs or whatever it is that Evan wants, a water, whatever. So I whipped out the plastic, you know, plastic man, Stacey Augman, gave it to him and said, go get, it was very specific, go get us food. This chooch comes back with one box with the chicken tenders and fries for himself and a soda. And I go, well, what the heck happened? And he goes, well, I didn't hear you say you wanted Evan to get dinner for Evan. I go, I gave you one specific job to do and you didn't do it. And I said, guess what? Take a picture of this. This is the one time I'm pulling the credit card out and you didn't execute it. Because I didn't want to go stand online with Celtic fans.
I don't have an issue with that. Yeah. I did have ice cream. Who bought the ice cream?
As far as I know, it was either a five-finger discount or...
So you ended up not buying me anything?
So I owe you. We're going. Well, no.
Who bought the ice cream? Who brought you the ice cream?
Paul Rosenberg, who came with us.
So, but he must have bought it then.
So Tommy,
with Tommy's credit card.
So let me get this straight.
Let me just get this straight.
I want this all.
I do
in my
because
head.
Of my wife. How many Amazon things?
I want this understood in my head. So I dropped a lot of money on me, you, and Rosie to go to a Knicks-Celtic game. Yeah. Not a game I even wanted to go to. I'm not a Knicks fan.
No, you're a Celtic fan. You were acting
well,
like one.
Well, I've already apologized for that.
Okay.
I shouldn't have acted
but
that
you
way.
Did enjoy yourself, though.
I ended up having a good time.
Okay.
All right? We all have a good time. You get so deeply offended by the way I act that you record a video that is so inappropriate with the things you said. After I buy you a ticket and you didn't even buy me an ice cream? So I'll make this very simple. Because I'm not mad,
I think
but I'm
he
like,
did buy you the ice cream.
No, I don't think so. Rosenberg, I think, did. He doesn't even know. I don't think he did buy me the ice
well,
cream.
Well, he didn't know what Rosenberg bought.
That's fine. All
he
I know.
He had Tommy's credit card.
Or did he? Did he come back with the chicken fingers and hand you the credit card back?
Well, he said, do you want me to hold on to this credit card? I go, get the hell out of here. Give
so
me my credit card back.
So you didn't pay
so
for it.
Presumably, yeah.
So I'm going to treat you like my children, okay? It's very, very simple. You got a choice. It's an easy one. You could apologize for the inappropriate things you said about me. And I am such a forgiving guy. No questions asked, I'd say yes. But if you don't, the gravy train is over. I will never take you to another game. I will never buy tickets. Even a Met game. I don't think I would take you to that. And I'd still like you. You're still my friend. We can look past the inappropriate things you said about me because that's how guys talk to each other,
yeah.
Believe it or not. Usually when they're in their 20s, but me and Loogie have not grown out of it. So totally fine. Nothing personal. But the gravy train's done. And that's your choice. So you can decide now, hey, you know what? Screw it, Evan. I'm going to give up the gravy train because I want to stand by my inappropriate video. Or you could apologize, and you know me. You know me very well about this. I'm a sucker.
Mm-hmm.
If you apologize.
You forgive.
I forgive immediately.
You're easy.
There are certain things that are unforgivable. That's certainly not that. That's fine. You're just a loud, crazy crybaby. Like, that's okay. I'm good with that. So it's your choice. And by the way, I'm not kidding. I have a very long memory.
Does he have to make this choice right this instant? Is this a right now choice?
He kind of does because I want to be fair about this.
Just because you apologize, now he needs to apologize?
I want to be fair about this. Tomorrow night is station ticket, so I have no kind of ability to take that away from you. But Sunday, I was bringing the show with tickets I received. Mm. That's gone. I wouldn't feel right giving a child more toys when they aren't appreciative. So again, not mad. I won't hold it against you other than you just lose that. You lose that ability. The random Met game, you can forget the NBA playoffs. Game 7, which I plan on going to if the Knicks are there, mm-hmm. I'm going to. I spoke to my wife about it. I'm in. Game 7, Knicks-Pacers, I'm going. You will not even be considered. So it's your choice.
Here's the problem.
Again, I'm not mad at you. Yes. You just have to make a decision.
Here's the problem. It comes off like I'm not appreciative of the tickets. And I thank my good buddy in the overnights, Chris McMonagle.
It comes across like that? Right. Well, how else would
because
it come
it
across?
Is like that?
Thank you, Tim.
Well, because, and I think, and he said this as well, is that you buy the tickets and you think you then have the power over us to do whatever you want.
Yes, but that is true.
Not true.
No, but it is.
No, it's
then
not.
Then I won't buy the ticket. Then it's problem solved.
But Evan.
Then I'll go by myself. It's not a big deal. Mm. But I did the same, because you're right, and this is good for history, Teak. You need to be aware of this. I brought Big Mac to a Yankee-Red Sox playoff game. He's 1,000% right. And did the same thing with videos. But Big Mac, while he didn't love it, understood, all right, the guy brought me to Boston. I drove him in that case. We had the tickets. It's a part of the deal. And he was able to, I think even all these years later, though they lost the game, say, you know what? I had a good time. That's fine. If you don't want it, it's gone. I'm not losing sleep over it.
I think the reference he said was, I'm Hansel, he's Gretel, and you're or I'm Gretel, whatever, and you're the witch. Where you say, I love you guys, but come here. Like, even one thing, and I'll give you my answer in a second here.
Yeah.
About 4 minutes left in the game, here was the poison apple. Evan turns to me and he goes, boy, Loogie, you should leave. And I go, I was born on a day, and it wasn't yesterday. And now, number one, I'm not leaving. Number two, if I get up from that seat and leave, that video would have been out immediately. Mm-hmm. Every single digital department in the country would have had it. So he was trying to set me up. So it wasn't enough that he had to have me sit there and be miserable. He tried to set me up and embarrass me in front of everybody. It wasn't going to leave anyway.
You were a bad friend.
The poison apple.
Yeah. So that part I won't apologize for because I swear to you, Teak, and I think you're going to understand this. I have always said that I will leave a basketball game when it's mathematically over.
Yes, it was mathematically over.
It was mathematically over. I was parked in a garage, and Tommy and Rosie really wanted me to drive them back to their car, which was parked at a different location. And so
probably smart.
Very smart.
Because it's probably impossible to get an Uber.
Absolutely. So I said to them, look, I'd like to leave. It's mathematically over. Let's go. And I even said to Tommy, I'm not going to hold this against you. It's mathematically over. I leave when it's mathematically over. It's okay. So he thought it was a setup. I promise you it wasn't. I wanted to get out of that lot. And guess what? We sat there for an extra half an hour.
Speaking of, you want to tell the audience and Tiki and Sean the stunt you pulled after the game?
The stunt I pulled after the game.
Evan obviously tried to get us out early. I would not do that. I stayed till the final buzzer. But then we ran out of there like a bat out of hell.
Correct.
And Evan goes, all right, let's go to the parking garage. Let's get our car. We leave TD Bank Garden. We start walking towards the street area. We get to the street area, and Evan goes, I think we got to go down an elevator. I go, down an elevator? We're in the middle of a street. So we then had to bang a Yui.
Yeah.
And here I am in all Nick gear, and you guys are IBO. You look like you just walked out of, an Aeropostale. Yeah. So no one's going to pick on you. I had to walk into a sea of nothing but Celtic fans.
Yes.
Which lasted about 5 minutes.
Yes.
It was like the Scarlet Letter.
But Tommy, you have to understand something.
You pulled that. You knew what you were doing in that one.
You have such respect for my game that you think I...
I'm in Boston. I don't know where the hell I am.
No. So we get
I don't know where the lot is.
No, we finally get to the elevator, Teek, and I go, Ev, how did you not know where this was? Didn't you come from this in the beginning of the game?
Well, I did, but I almost threw up because I have motion sickness. And
he
I
was lost. He was just lost.
Yeah. How does this guy think I pulled all that?
Don't you know the golden rule of going into hostile environments? Know your way out. That's rule number one.
I know.
And I do that with any place I go. Know my way out.
And I try to know my way
and
out.
And beeline it.
But I just didn't. Like, think about it. I want to get out of that lot. I want to go home. Or in my case, back to the hotel.
Okay.
Do you really think I wanted to spend any more time? Even if it meant you going through more pain. Do you really think that I pulled that? I wanted to get to my car and leave. I wanted to record a Rico. I wanted to watch the rest of the Met game. Like, you have got some, like, brain. I give you credit. It's very creative.
You'd have been better off skipping that one.
No kidding. No kidding. I got shut down. So none of that was planned.
So none of the ice cream that you were eating as we were getting, you know, blown out in the second half and it was dripping all over my shoes and pants and you were high-fiving with Rosie and you were taking videos where there's a Celtic, you know, flag or whatever towel behind me. None of that. That was all just being friends and you bought the tickets.
Yes.
So I'm basically your you-know-what for the night. Is that what it is? You can have your way with me.
Yes.
And then I cut a video where I'm frustrated. Oh, by the way, it's a four-hour drive. We're driving home in a monsoon. You're at a Ritz-Carlton in Boston. More power to you. That's all good.
It was a very classless video. I actually felt bad for you. Mm. I was like, he uses curse words all the time.
Yeah.
He said things like, I can't even repeat about me. It was just inappropriate.
He's a defeated fan. He feels very frustrated by you, aggrieved. And, you know, he just needed to vent.
And that's why.
It's what the millennials do these days.
And that's why it's not a big deal. That's why I said, just give me an apology and I will continue the gravy train. But if you don't want to apologize, it's over.
Sean wants to say something.
I do, because I think on top of the apology is also something else. Now that we have him in the moment, I think he needs to admit.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in a car with Tommy Lugar where he has one of these videos that he's reacting to something.
Yeah.
Tommy, how many takes did it take you to do that video?
That was the first take.
No,
it wasn't. Which means he dropped multiple F-bombs about you. I'm going to guess about 7 different times before he got it where his cheeks
looked right. Also, why wouldn't you record the video while I was driving you back to your car?
Coward.
Like, you could have done it in front of me, and then I would have said, wow, that was inappropriate. I mean, you can do whatever the hell you want, but the gravy train ends tonight.
Because you would have kicked him out of the car?
Maybe. Or maybe I would have been like, all right, that's fine. Like, same thing I'm doing now, which is, it's fine, but the train's over. So, your call, your decision. I will not hold it against you either way. I'm good. The gravy train continues, which would include going to the Subway Series Sunday and possibly another Knick playoff game, or it's over forever. And literally forever, because I write this stuff down. I don't forget. And I don't know if the apology works in 5 days. It works today. So, this is your moment. This is your chance. And then we can all move on with our lives. Go ahead.
Okay. I apologize for using inappropriate behavior last night and putting that on social media.
Very good. That's it. That's all I needed. Because your feelings can be the same, but it's the language. It was inappropriate. Kids are watching, just
are they?
Very inappropriate.
Are they?
Oh, I played it for my kids on the way to school this morning.
Tommy, I accept your apology.
What not to do, children.
That's right. And also, next time I do take you to a game, be just appreciative. Give me like a thank you.
No. You were out. You were out, and then you dragged yourself back in there.
What'd I say? Just give me a thank you.
You made me grovel at your feet like you're a king because you know, whatever, I want it on the arm, I want the freebie, I want to go Sunday, I want to go to games, and I believe you, if I'm out, I'm out. I sat here and swallowed up whatever pride I have, and I apologized to you in front of millions of people, and then you couldn't just go to a caller or a commercial or a live read or to Tiki or to Sean. You had to go, but also,
okay,
can you be more appreciative?
Done. But no apology, gravy chain's gone. We're good. It's fine. No more.
Evan, I'll see you Sunday night.
You're leaving. Did I not thank you several times when I left the car last night?
I just wanted a thank you in front of Tiki. Mm. Tiki knows how stressed I was about the tickets.
Did I not offer you the hot dog?
I know how stressed you probably were.
Yeah.
I know how stressed Tommy definitely was.
No, he was stressed.
Just watched his Knicks on a closeout opportunity get their asses kicked. Asses. You got to take that into account
yeah.
for the emotional state
of our dear friend.
Absolutely.
Tommy,
that's why I was okay with just an apology, and it's okay.
No,
I understand
no,
he's upset.
No, you want to thank you. This is after yesterday when Tiki offered to give me $100 for the ticket, and you deemed that because I didn't say thank you within a 10-second window.
You got to show appreciation.
And then
man.
You lost the tickets.
And you lost the tickets.
No, you lost the tickets because you didn't pull the trigger.
But he lost it because he didn't go quick enough. You snooze, you lose. Look, it is okay.
I thank Evan a lot for the record.
So thank you. You're giving me a thank you? You're welcome. You got it, buddy.
Don't buddy me. Don't pal, a sport, a buddy, or any of that kind of stuff. Right. I apologize for the language, and I'll apologize again. I use language I shouldn't have used. I use, bathroom humor, whatever you want to call it. Kids are watching. We're all good on that. We're good. All and right. I thanked you last night.
We'll see you about game seven.
I owe you a hot dog.
Yeah, we'll see you about game seven.
Two hot dogs and a bottle.
Two
of water.
Hot dogs and a water.
Yeah, the reason I cut it down to one is that when I got into the arena, I actually called into you guys. I was so hungry. I immediately bought myself a cheeseburger. And so I had already gotten some food in my body, and I was like, what? I'm good with one hot dog.
Right. How was the cheeseburger?
Cheeseburger's really good, but I was also so hungry that I'm not sure how good it actually was. Mm. You know one of those cases
skewed.
Where you're really hungry?
Skewed. Your stomach is telling you it tastes good, even if it wasn't. And you know just what, because it was empty.
And you know what Knick fans would do to me? Because Knick fans would recognize us.
Of course. So we heard it on air.
Oh, yeah, that's right. These Knick fans start yelling at me, yeah, Evan, you're a Knick fan. Let's go Knicks. And they almost got me, ready to go. I was pissed. Mm. I was like, dude, don't say that. He's like, no, but you're a Knicks fan. I was
You did take a 3-hour trip to go watch the Knicks.
I know.
There was no net there.
Yeah.
Former net.
Here's what I took.
There was no Knick there. Or no net there. Just Knicks.
I took the 3-hour trip selflessly.
For Tommy.
Selflessly. For Tommy and for the audience, because I think it adds something to be at the games. We can't be at every game, but we could at least try.
Yeah.
We could at least try. And we did.
And you did it on your own dime.
And yes. You want to say that again?
You did it on your own dime.
Nothing new, by the way. This has been going on since the Beningo and Roberts era. You can ask Joe on our own dime. And I got no problem with that. Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. How are you, Josh?
Guys, I got a couple things to say to you, Evan. I usually feel bad for people with your fandom, rooting for the Mets, Jets, Nets. It can be tough, and I'm not really a hater. Well, of course, include them as well. I'm usually not a hater. I'm someone who I'm not too proud. I'll root for the Mets if the Yankees are out of it, But this stunt you pulled, and now it's like Tommy's a dead horse, and you're beating him while he's down, asking for apologies and thank yous. And, that's, I know you're supposed to be an IBO, but let us all have our moment. You pick four different people who you think were responsible for the loss. It was one of the worst performances I think that we've seen in a while. And here you are. It's not enough. It's never enough for you. You got to keep pushing, keep prodding. And that's why for you, I hope that next year Justin Fields invents a butt interception or the next trade for maybe the Nets will trade for Giannis and Trump will deport him or something.
My God! What a turn that was.
Oh man.
Nice
one, Josh.
Crazily enough, and once the Knick run ends, whether it's a championship or losing at some point, we will put the net clock back on because the more I think about it, the more I'm in on Giannis, which is crazy because I was so anti it not too long ago.
May not have to travel far for Eastern Conference Finals tickets next year, huh?
Unfortunately for Josh's point, Cat was born in Edison, New Jersey. He's an American citizen by birth.
No, he said Giannis.
Oh, Giannis. I thought he was talking about Cat.
No. He said the Nets would trade for Giannis and Trump would deport him.
I mean, that actually probably could happen.
Now, we saw her at the game and her husband, Kerry in Sayreville. Kerry, how'd you enjoy your experience in Boston last night?
I hated Tommy, first of all, do not apologize to Evan. Screw Evan and screw Shaw Morash. Don't apologize to any of them. He deserves... You don't have to say thank you. You could come with me to any game you want, Tommy.
That's right. I got a sugar mama now.
Don't apologize. but I'm miserable. That third quarter, as I told Tommy, I call it. I mean, it's plagued this all season.
Third quarter.
They just look... They all look gassed except for Kat, who was, skipping and looking for butterflies out on there. He literally wasn't doing much of anything, and he was in foul trouble in 2 minutes, so he was nice and rested. But they all just look so flat and so tired, and I just don't understand. That's coaching, no protection from the bench. Campaign just is like a little chihuahua out there. He goes in, he gets 3 fouls in 5 seconds.
Right, he's unplayable.
Deuce is looking good, and you take him out, and you don't put him back in again. They just frustrate me and they break my heart.
Are you nervous, Kerry?
And I think, Evan...
Are you nervous?
I'm so nervous. I don't even want to go tomorrow, but Justin's making me. They're going to lose in seven.
Wow.
Wow. I've seen this movie before.
Wow.
They break my heart. And Evan just needs to stay away from my Knicks. Just go to Citi Field, watch your Mets, leave my Knicks alone.
All right. Well, God,
I'm miserable.
I've got good news. I've got good news
Thank
for
you, Carrie.
I'm not going to the Garden for Game 6, and we're not going to Philly for Game 7. So I am done.
Philly.
Boston for Game 7. So I'm done with this series. The rest is on you. But I am surprised that Kerry is that negative, thinking this series is going to turn to the point where they lose at the Garden in Game 6,
yeah,
and then again in a Game 7.
Well, it's just the negativity that comes from how bad they played in that second half. Like, it just, it's alarming. Now, I think Carrie's overreacting a little bit, and I know Carrie, and I know her fandom, so I get it. But it was a bad quarter against a defending champion who got themselves off the Jason Tatum injury mat and played great basketball. I mean, Luke Kornet is never going to play that way again, right? He's not going to have 7 blocks and be rolling to the basket, reverse dunking on Josh. Like, he's not going to see that
right
every single night, unless he, you know, all of a sudden just snaps into a superstar. So you had a bad night when they had a great night for some of their role players.
I think the concerning thing, and again, I said this earlier, I stand by, I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know who the hell's going to win this series. I'll be the first to tell you. But I guess one thing that would concern you is they have played 20 quarters in this series.
This stat that you keep bringing up is a big one.
Yeah, the Celtics have outscored or led the Knicks for an 85% of the time. So as we sit here going into a Game 6, realizing, all right, it's just one win. It's just 48 minutes. The Knicks have still not had any game in this series in which they've led for more than 12 and a half minutes, which is, like, mind-boggling.
Right, doesn't make any sense.
We'll get back to your phone calls. A lot of reaction on the Knicks. We still begin to look ahead now to a Game 6. And when we come back, Juan Soto. Obviously, tomorrow is going to be an event here in New York City with Juan Soto's return to Yankee Stadium. He had some very interesting things to say earlier today to John Heyman, including, without doing it on purpose, he took a shot at us, the Met fans.